Are you a Job 24 person? Full of advice on how God ought to do things to suit you? Or are you a Job 42 person who, confronted with the ills and perplexities of the world, looks to God and says, "You tell me what I need to know." I think that's a key indicator of whether you are sold out and bought in to God's plan.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
Good morning. Almost everybody knows the story of Job. How there in the courts of heaven, God looks down and says, "Have you considered my servant Job, a righteous man?" And Satan, who at this point is still allowed access to the courts of heaven, says, "Well, yeah, look at all the stuff you give him. Look how easy you make his life. He only loves you and tries to please you because he's addicted to the flow of stuff that you give him. Take away the stuff and you'll see he doesn't care about you at all." And Satan is given permission, and he begins taking stuff away, even to Job's children, as well as his wealth. And Job's answer is, "Shall we, to have received good from the hand of the Lord, but turn away from him when bad times come?" And God says to Satan, "I told you." And Satan says, "It wasn't a fair test. You didn't touch the man himself. Skin for skin. Afflict him in his own person, and he will curse you to your face and come to the point that he would rather just die than continue under your watch care." Satan is given permission, and he afflicts Job personally. And Job's miseries extend in time. And some friends come to try to help him, but I will say more on that in just a little bit. We tend to lionize Job in the story, which is understandable and is on the one hand good, but on the other hand, somewhat wrong. It's a mistake that we make all the time. We often lionize the key human characters of the biblical narrative and think to ourselves, "Moses, what a great man Moses was," and forget how timid he was and how prone he was to less than complete obedience, and how he was given to flights of despair and a great mounting desire to give up and just let it all go. And how it was God who propped Moses up so that he could keep his portion of the covenant and move the plan forward. Abraham. What a great man Abraham was. And I get it. But do we forget Abraham's moments of dishonesty? His tactics with his wife Sarah, his less than complete trust, his desires to bargain with God. And we see again that God propped Abraham up so that he was able to keep his side of the covenant, not by his own strength, but by the strength of the Lord. And in every chapter of every story in all the Bible, God is the hero. And in the New Testament, he makes the point of saying, I choose to work with the weak and the foolish, with base vessels of clay, so that the strength and the power may be seen to have come from me. And this is equally true in the story of Job. God is the hero. Now, as I say this, I am perfectly willing to concede that Job never got to the place that Satan said he would, where he would curse God and wish to die. Job did not get there. I am perfectly willing to concede that Job made a better job of the whole business than I would have in his circumstances. And I am perfectly willing to concede that God did brag on Job, both in the beginning and at the end of the story. But I also realize that somewhere there in the middle of the story, Job slid a ways down from this statement, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That faithful statement made early in the story, Job slides some downhill from there. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to chapter 24 and you can read along in this as I go. But this is the low point for Job. And he breathes out his heart full of hurt in an extended complaint. And here is the heart of his complaint. Since God sees all, and note that this is a declaration, not a question. Job is not doubting God's existence. He is not doubting God's omnipotence. He is not doubting God's omniscience. This is a statement. Since God sees all, then why do the godly, insert in parentheses, like me, suffer? And why do they, insert in parentheses, like my kids, die not seeing their full allotment of years? And while I'm at it, people steal stuff like all my livestock. And people cheat on real estate like my real estate. They move the ancient landmarks, the rocks, whatever that mark the border between this tract and that tract. I knew a man, and I will not say his name or where it was, except that it wasn't here, who felt that he needed to build a brand new woven wire fence every 2 years. And every time he replaced that fence, it was the width of a post hole further onto his neighbor's property. Until in the course of years, he had invaded that property by several feet. So Job complained, people cheat at real estate moving the ancient landmarks. People exploit the poor, the equivalent of the modern payday loan operation. where people make small loans to the poor specifically for the purpose of being able to seize a few things of value they have when the loan cannot be repaid. And people commit acts of gratuitous violence. Sound a little familiar for our modern situation? Murderers, Job says, get up at the crack of dawn so they can get an early start on their business. After all, you got quotas to meet, I guess. And burglars and sexual predators are anxious for the sun to go down so they can get to work. And I know, Job says, so don't bother telling me, because I know that death will bring all these ne'er-do-wells down to the dust in the end, but I also know that death will bring all the godly people down to the dust in the end. And sometimes, especially in my situation, it seems that the godly perish before the ungodly. And don't even get me started on the evils of nature. Drought. Plague. I don't know, Job opines. But it seems to me, if I were God, I would do things maybe a little bit differently. If God should look for advice from me, then maybe he ought to... Do you see what dangerous ground Job treads? And he concludes, if I'm wrong, speak up and prove it. His challenge rings out, it seems, to man and to God. This is Job's low point. But I cut him some slack. The man had been through a lot. And I continue to minister people today who, in the presence of excessive misery and suffering, come to the point of despair and become angry with God. So Job had been through a lot, including his just recently experienced ministration of some friends who came to assure him, for his own good, that every terrible thing that had happened to him was his own fault. Because they were sure he must have committed some secret, hidden sin to merit all these disasters. But we move from chapter 24 to chapter 42. And in the interim, Job has had another conversation, not with Bildad or Elihu or Eliphaz the Temanite. He has undergone 4 solid chapters of attitude adjustment from God himself. And now, Job answers in chapter 42 regarding his complaint in chapter 24. And I will insert that I like the New American Standard Bible. It has been my version of choice for many years, and in this case it is much to be preferred over most of the other versions, although I am not anti-King James. In this particular passage, King James translates some words as demands instead of questions, and it just doesn't carry the right attitude. Essentially, Job says, I am now ashamed that I thought to advise you on how to run your creation. I piped in on matters concerning which I have not a clue. And I opined on situations far too grand for my limited understanding. I offered counsel without knowledge to you who knows everything, to you who can do anything, to you from whom nothing is hidden. So I'm going to shut up now, and I'm just going to ask you to tell me what I need to know. You know, if I were God, I wouldn't allow all this racial tension. Really? Well, we did practice slavery. Oh, I know, not us. Nobody here has ever owned a slave. But us, humanity, God's children. It's a human problem taking in all cases, places, and races. And there have been slaves of every color on every continent in every time. And when young girls are kidnapped and pressed into sexual slavery, or the people crossing the border suffer the same sort of experience, it is no different. We, again, we humans, still practice slavery. I do not justify the violence that is going on in our country right now. That too is wrong. But I will say this, if we were less prone to sell, buy, and exploit our fellow man at the drop of a hat, perhaps things would be better. But whatever, let's tell God how to run things. Because after all, we're doing such a splendid job of it ourselves. Why doesn't God just put a stop to this pandemic? I would, if I were him. Okay. But we played around with viruses we don't understand, employing totally inadequate safety protocols. Yes, I know, not us, the Chinese. But I mean us, God's children. And don't kid yourself by thinking that we're not doing the same sort of thing here. If we were a little more responsible in our actions, things could be better. But sure, let's give God advice. And even to the extent that some of the ills of the world around us are not our personal fault right here, right now, I look out over our congregation today and I think to myself that Mark Oberle probably does not have a virology lab in his basement. Mark does not. I look over here and I'm pretty sure that Russ doesn't own any slaves. He does not. To the extent that there are ills in the world that are not our personal fault here and now, I tell you, we need to remember that God has a bigger plan. And we can go further here than was possible for Job in his time and context, because we have been privileged through the ministry of Jesus Christ to know things that he did not and could not know. God has a big plan, and we are all too ready to settle for something less. Let me tell you what God will not ultimately settle for. He will not settle for a colony of the righteous living somehow immune from harm in the midst of a sinful world while the rest of his children go down the tubes. Because God is a righteous judge, and he is the righteous judge, amen. Because God is the righteous judge, this sinful, broken creation is doomed. And God will have a holy, new, holy, righteous creation where all those who have chosen him will live in his presence forever. But in the midst of our desperation and hurt at the evil all over the fallen world, we would often settle for God just to piecemeal things a little bit, a little relief here, a little protection for the saints there, just a niche in which we can live in comfort. And let the rest of the fallen world go its way, because after all, as long as I get mine, right? Job would have settled for the godly, especially his children, getting their full allotment of, say, 90 years. And he would have settled for just himself living in peace and not having to bury his kids. And in the midst of his circumstances, I fully understand why such a dream would have appealed to the man, that it is altogether too puny a dream. And God has bigger game afoot. Read Romans 8:28 again this week if you have not read it recently, and know that God will work through all the ills of this fallen world and redeem his own, and we will live in peace with him and with each other forever. Let us at least understand what God is after before we start offering him advice on how to manage our little corner of time and space. Because his plan is big and grand and wonderful. And it is a blessing just to be a part of it. Or we could go with our plans. You get to choose. And how do you know if you are invested in the plans of God or not? A real good indication is whether you are currently a Job 24 person or a Job 42. Did you notice that those numbers are, right? 24, 42. Russ gets it. Are you a Job 24 person? Full of advice on how God ought to do things to suit you? Or are you a Job 42 person who, confronted with the ills and perplexities of the world, looks to God and says, "You tell me what I need to know." I think that's a key indicator of whether you are sold out and bought in to God's plan. And I'll ask you to consider your life that way this morning. Job 24. Or Job 42. Where are you? And if you need to make the jump, let this be your opportunity.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton, all one word, .com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.